Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 48th Annual Sun and Fun International Expo. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host with the Florida Aviation Network, and we are a project of the National Aviation Safety Foundation. If you haven't had a chance, please go on the website and just find out all the stuff we're doing, all the places we go, all the people that we speak with, and the underlying theme of every one of our shows is safety. We're always going to talk about aviation safety. It's so critical, so important if you love this industry. Today is no different, but we do have the privilege and the honor of having someone that just racked up over 2,000 hours of flight instruction in the North American P-51 Mustang, Steve Lairmore. Steve, put some of that on me.
Good to see you, Ben.
You swell. Steve, what are we going to talk about here, and where do you work? What do you do?
Well, I like the way you started out with safety. I think safety is the most important part of this.
Yes, it is.
The whole concept of Stallion 51, when they started up over 30 years ago, about 35 years ago, was to make Mustang flying safe, mm-hmm. making safe Mustang pilots, and we're still doing it.
And Steve, not to put you on the spot, but when we get talking, you see that red light right there? Look at that red light. See that red light?
Yeah, it's moving.
It's special. But so don't get, I know I'm good looking, and I know you love to look at me, but when you're talking to me, talk to that red light sometime. But
you got it.
P-51 Mustang, and Stallion 51 has done a superb job of taking it to a very, very professional level to train and get people comfortable on the ground before you get aloft. Because from what I hear and understand, the cockpit is a horrible, horrible classroom.
It's not bad, as long as you got a good intercom. It's too loud. It's hard to find the time to instruct in the cockpit, the classroom.
Your philosophy is to talk about it on the ground. Now let's go up and
do it. We spend a lot of time briefing and debriefing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 2,000 hours, and that's just flight instruction.
Yeah. Wow. I've got 5,200 hours in the Texan doing the same thing.
Good grief. You don't look old enough to have that much time.
I don't feel like that.
It's time to get into, we know what you do. We know where you do it. There's Stallion 51. But now it's time to get into the meat and the potatoes of our discussion.
Okay.
We want to hear about some of your, don't mention any names, but some horror stories. You've got to have some horror stories. You got somebody that, give me a left turn and they make a right turn.
Well, now that happens a lot. And that happens to us, turn left, they look right. That kind of thing.
But the only way to really, really fully appreciate this business is to discuss the things that could have gone horribly wrong.
Well, that's the whole premise.
So we want to keep it on the right track.
That's right.
Has there been any, share with us, nobody else is looking. There's only about 225,000? That's our audience today. But sure, we won't let it out. Just this is our little secret.
One of the things that we have to do in the Mustang especially, but the Texan as well, is take them to the edge. Accelerating stall performance in a very high-powered airplane with a big, heavy prop, which is nothing but a 450-pound gyroscope on the nose. Mm. When you depart a Mustang with power on, things get interesting. And since we have to show the student that, we have to take them there, I call it taking them to the edge, so that they don't do it accidentally mm-hmm. later on by themselves. I also tell them, don't do this at home. Do this with an instructor.
Yeah.
But I've had a few rides, and the Mustang is a little unpredictable in what it's going to do, depending on how much G you had on, how much bank, mm-hmm. where it is, how high the nose is, when it lets go, when it stalls, accelerated stall with the power on. The real issue is, power on spins they're unrecoverable. So you got to get the power off. The really scary thing, and I tell my students this on the first day, even if you enter a spin with the power on and pull the power off, you better be 9,000 feet high, because it's going to take that long to recover from a power on spin entry. Mm. And that's the surprising thing about a Mustang. And the Mustang behaves differently every day, so it's kind of unpredictable.
Does the term left-turning tendency enter into the picture?
On takeoff. The first takeoff is a really interesting eye-opener. But after that, you know what's coming, right? So you start out with 6 degrees of right rudder, so you have some help. You've got a lot of factors trying to take it to the left, and including slipstream effect, P factor, torque. But the big one is gyroscopic precession. When you raise the tail, it wants to go left. It's as strong or stronger than the torque effects to the left. If you have a left crosswind on top of all that, you got your hands full. And you gotta experience that. You gotta practice that. But after the first takeoff, you know what's coming. Mm. And it's not so scary.
Well, and you just mentioned something about you never really know what it's going to do. It's unpredictable. And a very, very stable aircraft is not a very good maneuverable aircraft.
It is a sweet flying airplane.
But maneuverability, stability.
Well, it's not an unlimited aerobatic airplane. Mm-hmm. But it's very stable. It's a great instrument platform. You know, and that's when they really started flying instruments, was in Europe in World War II. You know, they were still developing that instrument flying skill, because it's England.
And it's all the poopy weather over there.
Bad weather, bad weather. So they got real good at it in a hurry. Mm. They had to. So it's a good stable platform.
Steve, how many students have you put through your program?
You know, I was going to count them up. I don't know. We have just graduated number 215. Out of our program, and I'm not sure how many of those I've done, but I've been doing it for over 10 years.
Wow!
So I've got a lot of graduates.
You know, I remember back when you were starting doing that, and you were like a kid in a candy factory. It was just so happy.
They changed my name from Mad Dog to Lucky Dog when I got this job. Yeah.
Out of those 215, there's got to be a phrase that typically, after your flying is over and they get their certificate, their award, and they sign the check.
Smile.
But what consistently do they, other than wow or I never realized, but there's got to be a consistent thing of what they all experienced that's consistent.
They didn't expect to get what they got, to see what they saw in the Mustang, you know, and it's always a surprise to them. And they're always very glad that they got to see that. Because they're going to go off and fly either a museum airplane or their own Mustang. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got to show them some things that could really get them in trouble in a hurry.
Well, and you have a very limited amount of time in order to do that, to subject them to what can be careful,
the,
like
the
you say.
The syllabus, I got to tell you, this syllabus, I'm very strict on following the syllabus. Lee developed this training syllabus for the Mustang specifically a long time ago. It's still flexing. We're still learning ourselves. And if you cover the syllabus, there's a lot of repetition in there. You have shown them everything. Yeah, it's really comprehensive.
And how about the folks that have been flying the P-51? And I'm sure you get some old timers that come in.
That don't think they need the training. As soon as that turns them around. When they come and train with us, no matter how many hours they have in a Mustang, they go back and tell all their other Mustang buddies, you got to go to Stallion 51 and get some training, because for that reason, for all the same reasons. It turns them around 180 degrees, you know, and they're all mostly very talented pilots already. I mean, this, you don't get to high-performance airplanes without having some flying skills. So, but their attitude, you have to kind of modify their attitude, and it's easy. You just show them a few things, and they're very glad that they came for training, even if they've been flying a Mustang for years.
Well, I'm sure that there's some attention getters when they, and you have to get on the controls, and if you have to get on the controls, that should get somebody's attention.
I was talking to my last student just yesterday, and one of the phrases that he remembered was he kind of got lost in a barrel roll. Right. And a Mustang loves to go downhill, especially power on, right? So he got lost and he kind of cloverleafed or split-esed out of this thing. And as we're coming over the top of this maneuver, I said, well, now you're in trouble. And he still remembers that. He said, when you said you're in trouble now, it got my attention.
So. That's when the old OS phrase comes up.
OS. It comes downhill like an artillery shell, you know. You're going to lose a lot of altitude, and you're going to have to pull some G's to get the nose back up. So, but that's the learning process.
Yeah, and you got to let them
go.
You
only do that once.
And you got to let them. If you stop them, and say, you're going to make a mess. You're going to make – no, just let them fall.
That's right.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Exactly. This is going to be interesting. We've got video of me saying, I don't know, I think my customer said it. We did an accelerated stall out of just a wing over or something. And he was just an orientation flight. And after I recovered the airplane, he said, well, that was interesting. So we got that on tape. That's the title of the tape.
Steve, help me, if you will. By the way, who's given this flight to the Stratus winner? John?
Lee.
Oh, Lee's taking it flight?
I just rode over here with the kid.
Okay.
Yeah,
John,
great
John.
Kid.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you never, you got dreadlocks. You got the little tassels coming down.
I met him yesterday.
Very
He was helping me put the cover on one of the Mustangs.
Very professional, very polite.
Smart kid.
Yeah. No, you can't judge a book by its cover.
No. No, and I've stopped doing that.
No,
you never know.
Never. But I'd asked him the question, how much tailwheel time do you have? He said, I've got tailwheel time. How much? I've got 6 hours. Okay, yeah. All right. How about your seaplane rating? He said, I don't have that yet. I want to get that someday. What day? Yeah, I'm trying to nail him down. Next time I see you.
That poor kid's still working on his commercial.
That's okay.
Give him a break.
We got to get his tail wet.
But you do.
But for tail wheels, where I'm going with this is, you got to get your tail up, and I don't mean that in any sexual way, but tail wheel aircraft is just a different animal, and anybody who has not done it, that they fly, Bob, Ed, Dave, we need to get you guys up in a tail wheel airplane, and teach them what those things are down there on the.
Well, that's a large part of my job is teaching people what their feet are for, in tail dryers, acro, glider flying is good for that too.
Yeah. And energy control, T6 Texan.
T6 is the best military trainer ever built.
Do you put them for folks that come in for your P-51?
It depends on if they need it or not. If they're aerobatic guys, tail dragger guys, they might not need the Texan, and we can evaluate them real quick. A lot of them will come fly the Texan just to see before they get to the Mustang.
When you pull somebody in, do you do a flight evaluation to see where they are?
Or I talk to them on the phone. I can usually, at this point, I can tell over the phone, one, by their attitude.
Okay.
But from their experience, if they've been flying a Cessna 185, they got the tail dragger skills, Cessna 180.
Hmm.
The Champs and the Cubs, not so much. Citabria, Super Decathlon's good for that. But the Texan is that's the gold standard for warbirds.
Well, I do enjoy the tailwheel world.
Me too.
I hope once I do get my CFI, I would love to go flying with you and critique.
I just got my glider CFI in November.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you know how to fly stuff that don't have nothing to make noise.
I got 4,000 hours in gliders.
So your CFI.
But I just got the CFI. Yeah.
And
been looking to do it for decades.
Well, good. What else is on your bucket list? What do you need?
I don't think I can get. This is the big leagues for me. For a guy like me, I'm the little airplane guy. I've got 16,000 hours plus with no autopilot time, no multi-engine time, very little instrument time. I'm a little airplane guy, so this is the top of the heap. That's why they consider me so lucky I got here.
How about Cub on floats?
Cub on, I've done some of that.
Okay.
That's great fun. And I've got a couple friends with float planes, amphibs.
And how about boats? How about flying boats, flying hull?
Man, I want to get in that PBY so bad. Two of my buddies are flying that PBY out there.
Jason and
Sean.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get in that airplane real bad. I mean, it's just a historical airplane, a flying boat.
Yeah.
That's the one. That airplane basically won the South Pacific War.
People don't realize that.
They don't know.
Oh, man.
I had a guy in the Texan years and years ago who flew Black Cats. And he told me, I don't know how true this is, but he told me that he had sunk a Japanese cruiser with a Black Cat.
I believe it.
Catalina. I believe it, too. They sunk a lot of shipping.
Because they had hard points. I mean,
they had bombs. They could carry torpedoes. They used to do a glide bombing technique where they would pull the, you had to pull the power back to do a dive in the thing, but it's so draggy that it doesn't accelerate very much. Mm-hmm. And they painted the things black, the black cats. So they would pull the power back, glide in to like mast top level, drop their bombs, add power, and get the heck out of there. They never heard them coming. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
We are so rich with this industry, and and there's so much more to learn and to know.
Well, that's the thing. You got to keep learning. You know, we're all still learning how to do this. And if you think you know everything, you're getting into dangerous waters, you know?
Yeah.
You're still going to learn something.
And we've come across some folks that every now and then you get one that...
Every now and then. It's easy to change their mind, though, Ben. Yeah. I got to tell you. You just show them a couple of things that they've never seen before.
But you got to get them in the airplane.
Got to get them in the airplane.
Because I've met a lot of folks, and they talk a real good ball
game. You're absolutely right.
Let's go flying.
Absolutely right.
And then they start, you can see their hands get kind of clammy.
Oh, I can tell how they're flying from the back seat of a Mustang or a T6 just by the feel on the control stick. I can tell exactly how they're feeling.
Is it the death grip?
The death grip, and they get jerky. You know, they start doing this kind of thing.
No, you fly with two fingers.
I spend a lot of time telling people to relax. I'm just calming people down because it's exciting. Mm-hmm, you know, you climb in a Mustang, it's exciting. So you got to calm them down.
You do know Larry Kelly.
I just saw Larry.
All right.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time together, and what a gentleman.
What a piece of work, I'll tell you. Okay.
The B-25, I'm close. I don't have a type rating.
Got your second in command yet?
I do in the B-25. I got that, but I don't have my type. I want to go ahead and get the full PIC
type. It's time.
It's got to happen.
My last student that I was talking about, he's typed into B-25. This guy flies everything. B-29, he's flying DOC.
Wow.
B-25, BBY, all this neat stuff.
Larry, here we are talking about flying all this neat stuff and expensive warbirds. They're really expensive to operate.
Deep pockets, man.
But we want the folks that are possibly seeing this... Well, I'll never be able to do that.
That's just not true. You never know. I tell a lot of guys come in that just want to train in the Mustang. They don't have the wherewithal to buy one, but I tell every one of them, by the time you get trained at Stallion 51, you never know who's going to call you to fly their Mustang. You just never know.
But Larry Moore, where did that name come from?
I think it's a French-derived name from England, Northern England.
But it's Larmore.
Depends on what region you're in. Larmore. They spell it all kinds of different ways all over the country. Two R's, put an I in there, put an E in there.
Well, I have an admission, and then we'll get back on track here. But there for the longest time, I was calling you Larry because it was always Larmore.
They call me all kinds of stuff. I'll answer anything.
Yeah. All right. But I tell you what, we do want to make this open to the people in the field that think, I will never be able to do that.
Oh, you've got to
never say never.
You've got to do it. The thing, I tell this to people every day, all day long, especially here at the air show. It's a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to fly a Mustang, less to fly a T6. The T6 is the affordable warbird. Mm-hmm. But any flying, if you really want to do it, and you know the draw the Mustang has, it's worth it. You're only going to do it one time. It's worth it. And you get to fly the airplane.
Well, but, Steve, we got to give these folks a path. Crawl, walk, run. Get into a Cub or a T-Craft or a Citabria.
Exactly.
Or
find a flight school that does Citabria training or even Super Cub training or anything.
Anything with the wheel
on the right
end of the
airplane. That's right. It's
going to
make a better pilot out of you.
Crawl, walk, run.
That's right.
If you spend enough time flying that, you're going to be able to graduate up to something a little heavier. And then you'll be in the T6. And it'll just be a flash that you'll be...
That's the path.
...figuring out how to justify and afford getting into the B-51. Or there's a couple P-40s out running around.
You know, I haven't been in a P-40 yet. I just haven't had the opportunity.
I can set you up.
I know. Have you been up to South Carolina yet?
Not yet, but we
me
will.
Either.
Yep. We will. Let's
American Dream is sitting over there. Was sitting over on the ramp yesterday.
It's there this morning.
Okay, good.
It's flying today.
Good.
Steve, again, we want to. We're going to kind of start wrapping this up. Believe it or not, because I know you want to go out and
time flies.
It does fly. But I do want to see you get your tail up. And we want to have some more fun with this industry and do it safely, because it's
that's the key.
It can hurt you. We're still key. Losing. Every now and then we lose another Mustang.
NT6s. And again, that's all about training. They haven't seen. Some of these guys are very experienced pilots. I mean, very experienced. And they're spinning in the Texan or the Mustang. It's because they weren't trained properly. They haven't seen it. And that's my big issue with that. Come fly with us.
Well, Steve, we're locking the tailwheel.
There you go.
We're going to shut it down. We're going to thank you again for spending a little bit of time with
it's
us
good
here
to
this
see
morning.
You.
Always.
Good to see you.
And this is going to wrap up another very, very compelling and educational aspect of our Florida Aviation Network productions. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host, Sun and Fun number 48. See you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.